Welcome to Christ Fellowship Online. We are so pumped that you made your way here today. And we are praying that you experience the love and the presence of God wherever you're at. Maybe you're in your pajamas, in your kitchen, with your family. Maybe you're at work right now today joining us, or wherever you're at, our prayer is that you would encounter God, because God is not limited to a Sunday morning gathering. He is everywhere, and we believe He's where you are today. You know, the decision to go online today was one that we prayed into, that we sought wisdom for. But in the end, we felt it was the best move for our community as we sought the wisdom and direction from some of our leaders and really wanted to benefit our community. There's a passage in Jeremiah 29:7 that says this, "Work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I've sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for its welfare will determine your welfare." Our decision was made in order to love and bless our region. We really wanted to honor and love those that are most at risk in our community. And at our Christ Fellowship, man, we are honored that we have such a wide range of people that come to our church. We've got people from newborn, little babies, all the way to people in their 90s, and I love that. We've got people every Sunday morning that drive in, some from Tri-Cities, Johnson City, Bristol, some from even further, an hour away. People drive in to experience the presence of God. And with that, we recognize that, man, we have a role to play in our community with respect to coronavirus. And so we said, what can we do to help love our region and our community that will help minimize the impact to the economy and to even the health? And so we made this decision to really bless our community and those that are at the highest risk. Man, today I want to encourage you to grab a Bible. You're at home, so there's no excuses today. But go ahead and grab a Bible, grab your phone, and we're going to dig in to the scriptures today and to see what God would want to share with us. We're going to start out in Mark chapter 12. And in Mark chapter 12, we're going to pick up in a discussion that Jesus was having. He was having a discussion with some religious leaders around a resurrection. And another guy heard them having this conversation. So he's like, man, Jesus is answering questions. I'm going to go ahead and ask him a question. And so we pick up in Mark chapter 12, starting in verse 28. It says, "One of the scribes came up, and they heard that they were disputing with one another. And seeing that he answered them well, that Jesus had answered them well, he asked them, 'Which commandment is the most important of all?'" It's a great question. Verse 29 says, "Jesus answered, said, 'The most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' And the scribe said to them, 'You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and there is no other beside him. And to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, to love one's neighbor as oneself, is much more than the whole burnt offering and sacrifice.'" Verse 34, "And when Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions." I love that they put that last line in there, that after Jesus dropped the mic here, they're like, man, we don't want to ask you any more questions. But since we've been talking about the kingdom of God, which is the rule and reign of God, over the last few weeks, I wanted to touch on this because I think this gives us a little bit more insight of what is the kingdom about. I love how Jesus is asked about what is the greatest commandment. Now, Jesus had 613 to choose from the Levitical law. And he really narrows down into this one theme. And he said the greatest law, above everything else, the way you can sum them all up is this, is love God and love others. And as this man responded and repeated what Jesus says this interesting phrase. He says, "The kingdom of God is not far from you." He was telling the guy, man, you've said these words, you recognize that love is the primary, it's the priority. He said, man, you're so close to the kingdom of God. And so today I want to think, what is the priority of the kingdom? What is the priority of the kingdom of God, this rule and reign? And what I want us to see today is that the priority of the rule and reign of God, the priority of God, is love. One of the things that I love to do when I read the scriptures is I'll take one of the attributes of God. So we know that God is love, and so I'll look at a scripture maybe in the Gospels, and I'll read the name of Jesus, and sometimes I'll go through and I'll substitute the word love for the name of Jesus. So Jesus had compassion. You could say love had compassion on that person. I would encourage you to maybe check that out and try to look at the scriptures maybe in a new way. But as I was studying for this week and been looking at the kingdom of God and recognizing that the kingdom really is a priority of love, I substituted the word loving for kingdom. And I just wanted to see, does that work? Does that make sense? And so Matthew 6:33, this is where we started the series. We know this verse. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. But we could also read it like this, since love is the priority of the kingdom. But seek first the love of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You see, if God is love, that means that the kingdom is ruled by love. His rule and reign in the heavens, if God is love, is that kingdom is ruled by love. And I would go as far as say is that we actually can't experience the kingdom of God apart from love. You experience one, you therefore experience the other. And I was thinking about that, you know, when we talk about salvation, entering into the kingdom of God, like we hear in Nicodemus in John chapter 3, when we see an entry into the kingdom of God, what are we experiencing when we experience that? We're experiencing love. Or when we pray for somebody to be healed physically, and they're healed physically, they're not only experiencing the kingdom of God, like we know at the rule and reign of God, but they're also experiencing love themselves. Or when you befriend somebody, man, what are you extending? You're extending love. When somebody is set free from an abusive relationship, when somebody is set free from lies that they're believing or an addiction or whatnot, what are they experiencing? They're experiencing the kingdom of God, but at its core, they're really experiencing love. So today I want to talk about love because I do believe it's at the center of the kingdom of God because it is who God is. Now we know there's an enemy of the kingdom of God. We know him as Satan. And his desire is to hinder and to distract us from the rule and reign of God on this earth as it is in heaven. And so it makes sense that Satan hates love. Man, he hates love. And I would say that in because of his hatred of love, he's trying to derail and get us focused on other things. And I believe one of those things that he does that with is fear. See, the enemy of love is fear. And we see this time and time in the scriptures, but I want to take us one more spot that we're going to land in today. And this is 1 John chapter 4. And I want to read probably a passage that you're somewhat familiar with. This is 1 John chapter 4, but talking about how fear is the enemy of love. Let's start in verse 18. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. So in this, we see this dynamic that there are two things that are at odds. We have love, which is the kingdom of God, and then we have this fear, which is one of the primary ways that Satan distracts us and keeps us from actually walking in the fullness of the kingdom of God. And as we've been talking about coronavirus, and as you can't watch any news channel without hearing that word, or COVID-19 is the new way that we say it, I was thinking of the word virus. What is a virus? At its core, a virus is something that poisons our body, our mind, or our soul. And so the coronavirus, it is a virus that is affecting some people worse than others, that is impacting their health. But that word virus we also use with computers, right? Like back in the day, your computer got a virus. That was bad, bad, bad. And what did it do? What was the impact of that virus on your computer? Well, it would slow everything down. It would impact how certain programs ran. And at the end of the day, your computer could not fully be all that it was designed to be because of that virus. Well, I think there's also a virus that's infecting not only individuals, but us on a larger scale. And my good friend Jamie Winship put this quote out this week that he said that fear is a virus. Now think about that. If a virus is something that infects and poisons the mind, soul, and body, and we're thinking about fear as the enemy of love, then fear at its core is a virus that not only infects an individual like me, but also can greatly infect and affect our whole society. And I think that's honestly where we are. Fear is rampant all over the place. Fear of what another country is going to do to us, fear of the economy, fear of this very real virus, fear that I'm not going to be enough, fear that I'm going to get rejected. Fear is all over the place. And so today, I want to talk about what do we do with that? Because I really do believe that fear is actually keeping us from experiencing all that God has for us. When I think about my own life and how fear has impacted me, I think about a couple of things that stand out that were big in my life. Like my fear of public speaking, the fact that I'm sitting here before you or that I get up on a Sunday morning and preach is crazy to me because for most of my life, I was deathly scared of public speaking. I mean, I would get red, my ears would get all red. I would begin to laugh uncontrollably, which was really embarrassing when you had to give a speech. And so fear really kept me from stepping into what God had for me. If I never was able to navigate that fear, I never would actually be a pastor, and I would never get up on a stage or in front of people and do what I believe that God's called me to do. So fear, it tries to steal from us. Or I think about, man, when I was in baseball, I've shared this story before, but when I was in baseball, I loved the sport, but I had this one year that I got fearful of not doing things right. And so I would have this third base coach that I would always say, it's your time to shine, Harden. And he was trying to encourage me, but when he said that, immediately there was fear. And this time the fear was that, man, what if I let him down? What if I strike out? What if I don't do the thing? And so that fear put me in a place where I really couldn't operate, even athletically, to be and do all I was called to do and was designed to be as an athlete. And so fear, I think at its core, it robs us of so much. And even thinking about my corporate career before I ever stepped foot inside a church as a pastor, is when I was considering moving away from the big chemical company that I work for and I was looking into some different business opportunities, when I talked to other people in my company, there was so much fear and of the potential of leaving that company and starting something new. And I remember they actually would actually get behind me and cheer me and encourage me to actually leave because they had gotten so far in their career that it was such a fear thing for them that they said, man, I got too much to lose if I leave the company. Derek, I want to see you go and do what I wanted to do, but I'm too scared of. And so when I stepped out, man, they were celebrating, they were excited. But what was keeping them from doing what was in their heart to do? It was fear. And I think you've probably experienced the same thing, that maybe there's something in your life where there's some fear that's robbing some joy in your life. Maybe there's some fear that's keeping you from stepping out in a career. Maybe there's some fear that you're not having a conversation that you know that God's calling you to. Man, fear is all over the place. And I'm telling you, it is the enemy of the kingdom of God. You know, the kingdom of God is filled with freedom. And I was also thinking this week just how fear kept me as enslaved to some patterns in my life. And because of the fear in my life, because I wanted everybody to think I had everything together, that I wanted the church people to love me, I wanted my friends to think highly of me, that fear that I had, if somebody really knew who I was, then they wouldn't want to be my friend or my wife at the time, that if she knew really the struggles that I had, that somehow that she would leave me, that fear that was from the enemy kept me in the same cycle, same thing. Man, I hated it, man. I wanted to break out of it. I wanted to be honest, but that fear of what if, what is somebody going to think of me? What if somebody rejects me? What if somebody doesn't want me in their life anymore? Those fears kept me in this pattern. And I'm going to tell you, it was so debilitating. And it kept me from really receiving from God until one day when I finally said, you know what, enough is enough. Where I got to the pain was great enough where I'm like, man, I can't do this anymore. And I finally just told the truth. And as I did that, I received the Father's love in a new way, in a fresh way, and stepped out and actually shared and opened up about my struggles and about my addictions. And when I did that, man, freedom came in. And guess what happened? I experienced the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of God, His love on earth as it is in heaven. And so I want to encourage you to maybe even this season of where there's so much fear, whether it's fear in politics, where people say, man, if you don't vote for this candidate, the world's going to end. Let me just say, the world is not going to end, no matter who is our president or congressman or senator. It's not going to end. We need to have wisdom. We want to be part of our community and voting. But man, the world is not going to end depending on who gets to be president. But there's fear in everywhere you look. And so I would ask you, what are you fearful of this morning? This afternoon, this evening, wherever you're at, what are you concerned about? What is actually keeping you from experiencing all that God has for you? Because what I know is that if fear is a virus, then the best medicine, the only way to actually address that fear is what we see here, which is love. It says that love actually casts out fear. And so what would it look like for us, the people of God, to not operate in fear in the midst of this unknown and uncertainty? Now, somebody had commented just this week on a post. They said that a fearful world needs a fearless church. And I honestly couldn't agree more with that. Our decision to not have church gatherings in person was not based on fear, but rather actually based in love for our community. That doesn't mean the church cannot be the church. You know, I believe actually that when things get dark, it's actually the opportunity for the church to be the brightest. When everybody else is running away from people, I think it's actually the church's opportunity to run too. And so I was just thinking this week, what does it look like for us to be the church? What's it look like for us to speak love, to show love in the midst of a world that's in a storm of fear? And thankfully, in this same text, that this letter that we read in 1 John, a little bit before this in chapter 3, we get some real clear insight of what this actually looks like. And this is actually one of my favorite passages on love in the scripture. This is 1 John 3:16. We know John 3:16. This is 1 John. It says this: by this we know love, that he, Jesus, laid down his life for us, that we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. And I love this passage because first it gives us a real picture of love. If you want to know what love looks like, look at Jesus. You know, fear, what is fear about? Fear is about two things primarily: self-protection and self-promotion. When I don't think I'm enough, when I think somebody needs to when not going to believe in me or not going to want me, what do? I self-promote. And if somebody I feel like is coming against me and wants to take something from me, or I don't have enough, what do? I self-protect. And so if you think about fear, it's self-protection, self-promotion. And if you look at the life of Jesus in the Gospels, you actually see the antithesis of those two things. What did Jesus do? He walked the earth and he protected other people. I think about the woman who was caught in the act of adultery. What did Jesus do? Man, he actually came alongside of her, and those that wanted to kill her by stoning her, he actually spoke into them and challenged them in such a way they dropped their stones and walked away. And he said, where are your accusers? What did he do? He was protecting her. So Jesus, man, he didn't protect himself. He protected other people, and he also promoted other people. Man, he gave people opportunities. He raised up their hopes and got their eyes on what was true instead of what was false. And ultimately, Jesus, who never had a moment of fear, never walked in fear, ultimately Jesus emptied himself fully and gave himself for us in the greatest act of love. It says right here, we know love because he died for us. That's self-sacrificial. That's what that is. And that, I believe, is actually the answer to our fear, that we would love not in a way that says you got to give me something, but actually with no strings attached. And so as we're thinking about the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of God, what does it look like for us to take that down to a day-to-day basis? You know, it's one thing to gather in a church building and say, yes, Jesus, but what's it look like when you're going to work this week? What's it look like when you're interacting with your friends and your neighbors? What's it look like as you're going into the grocery store, as you're getting a coffee for the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of God, which is ruled by love, to break into your reality? Right here, he tells us, man, if you've experienced this love and yet you see a brother in need and you don't do anything, he says, how can God's love, or how can his kingdom be in you? And those are challenging words, and words that I think we need to take to heart in this season, because I believe the world right now needs a group of people that are willing to love God and then love those in their lives. And so I would encourage you, as we close up today, what would it look like for you to express the kingdom of God through love? One example, just this weekend, what I did is we have a great neighborhood. We got some incredible neighbors in our house. And what's interesting is that three of our neighbors that surround us are all 70 plus years old. And I know that that demographic is in a harder spot because of this coronavirus. And so this week, I actually took my phone out and I just reached out to each one of them. And I said, hey, I'm thinking of you and I want to know if I didn't ask them if they have any trouble hearing you. But I reached out to them and texted them and said, hey, I just know there's a lot going on in the world right now. And I just wanted to ask, is there anything I can do for you? And I wanted you to know that I would love to help in any way in the future. And each one of them responded back, said, thank you so much. One of them said they were actually headed out of town to help their mother in a tough situation and asked that I pray for that. But what is that? Man, that's super practical. And it's a way that we can counter the fear of the world, the fear of the world's kingdom with the love of God that does cast that fear out. And so what would it look like for you this week to be the church, not be at this church in this building, but for you to be an expression of the love of God wherever you go? It begins by seeing people. He said, if you see people, if you see a need. So we got to be a people that see people. Man, I would encourage you this week, man, check on your neighbors. Man, maybe you haven't talked to them for a while, but man, reach out to them, whether it's on the phone, a text message, or maybe you just go over and actually knock on a door. I know that sounds really odd, but knock on the door and just say, hey, I know things are crazy. Can I help you in any way? Maybe it's you reach out to one of your family members that's a little bit older, or maybe a person in your life that you know doesn't have a lot of family, a lot of friends around, and you just check on them and say, hey, I was thinking about you, praying for you. Is there any way that I could help you out? And I think, I do believe that in the midst of this darkness, in the midst of the uncertainty, in the midst of all this fear that's happening, that we as a church have an opportunity to be different, to be countercultural, and to bring to the table love, which does cast out all fear, which covers a multitude of sins, which is the way of Jesus and the way of his kingdom. And so this week, man, ask the Lord, man, we want to press into his voice. What does it look like for you to love your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers this week? And by doing so, I believe that we'll see the kingdom of God come on earth in the Tri-Cities as it is in heaven. Now, you've probably heard that President Trump has announced that today is a national day of prayer for coronavirus, which I love that. Politics aside, I think whether you vote red or blue, I think we all agree that, man, we want this virus to go quickly. Man, businesses locally and nationally are struggling. People are getting sick, and there's a lot of fear. And so we want to see this virus end quickly. And so I'm just going to ask you right now just to take a moment wherever you're at and that you would join me in just a word of prayer over our community here in the Tri-Cities, but also over our nation and over our world, that the love of God would swoop in and bring change into this virus. So pray with me. Jesus, thank you so much for loving us. Man, thank you for showing and modeling us love, perfect love. Man, thank you so much. Thank you that in your kingdom there's no fear because love rules and love casts out fear. And so, Lord, right now we just gather with people all around this country, every part of society, every demographic, every race, every economic level. And we just say, man, would your kingdom come, Jesus? Lord, we want to see this virus end quickly. We want to see the impact of this virus minimized. And so we pray for just the medical community that are searching for an answer, that there would be a quick solution. Lord, we pray for those that are at risk, that you would just bolster their immunity. And we pray just for wisdom for leaders as we navigate this, that we can that we can see this thing in quicker than possible, than we thought possible. So Lord, we just bless in the Tri-Cities, protection over it. We thank you for the United States of America, the freedom that we have in this great nation. And thank you for the leaders that are over our country that are doing what they believe is the best thing. And so we honor them, Lord, we bless them. And Lord, above all this, even though we're not gathered together as a church right now in a building, Lord, I pray that we would be a church that raises up and loves those that are vulnerable, those that are oftentimes unseen and unnoticed by society. Lord, may your kingdom come. May your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.